Of course, the crowd wants Reed to go for it. Wouldn't be surprised if he did on 4th and 1.
So, anyways, with that, time, George.
Welcome to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And Nick, it's a big week. I know when the schedule came out and Tom Brady had moved on from New England, a lot of people circled this one. It's the Chiefs at Tampa Bay. It's Mahomes against Tom Brady, part 4. Mahomes has won one of the three meetings they've had. Tom Brady got the better of him in the AFC Championship game, 2018 season. I'm curious, though, the big thing for me looking at this game, obviously the Chiefs need to keep winning because there don't seem to be a lot of losses on the Steelers' ledger if you're looking toward playoff seeding. But I'm also curious, how important do you feel like a game like this is to Patrick Mahomes' legacy? To, you know, if he can be 2-2 against Tommy Brady, who's widely considered the GOAT, how far do you think that would go down the road if Mahomes gets to 4, 5, 6 Super Bowls and starts to enter that conversation as the greatest quarterback ever?
It's not going to hurt, but here's the thing. People are just going to point out, they're going to be like, oh, well, he never played Brady in his prime, or, oh, he never played Brady. He lost to Brady in the AFC Championship game, or, oh, this or that. You know, there's always going to be an excuse. There's always going to be some justification. So I'm not going to say it doesn't hurt. You know, it's going to help, but I'm just telling you, there's always somebody that's going to be moving the goalpost to whatever they want to. That's just the way the world works.
Yeah, and I would argue, look, I mean, Brady hasn't faced, you know, probably isn't going to face Mahomes in his prime either. I'm assuming Patrick Mahomes is going to continue to get better. So beating him in what was effectively his rookie season, when Mahomes got him to the AFC Championship game, I'm not sure, especially if you go back and look at the way that game unfolded and the fact that Mahomes did everything he possibly could, I'm not sure that's an argument I'm going to buy. Of course, I'm biased because I've never been a fan of Tom Brady. I kind of like Patrick Mahomes. Do you look at this game, though, and think this is a possible Super Bowl preview in some way? I know that, you know, the Buccaneers have had some struggles in their primetime matchups. They had that awful loss to the Bears, didn't play well against the Saints, just got beat by the Rams on Monday night. But do you see this Buccaneers team as a team capable of going on a run and maybe winning the NFC? And if the Chiefs can get there, being the team they see at the end of the season?
Not if everybody keeps throwing each other under the bus down in Tampa right now in press conferences. I don't think they're going to have to worry about a Super Bowl at that point. It'll be one and done in the playoffs, and then people will be pointing the finger at each other. And then it's weird right now. They're just pointing fingers at each other, and it just makes them look so disorganized, and it's sad.
I kind of like the fact that, like, Bruce Arians clearly isn't treating Tom Brady with kid gloves. And look, I'm not sure that he should. I mean, when you look at some of the one of the most iconic moments for the Bucs season this year is that Bears game I mentioned, where Tom Brady forgot what down it was and was confused. Still thought he had a 4th down coming. I mean, there have been some times. Let's be clear, this is not Tom, you know, peak Tom Brady. This is not Tom Brady when he threw 50 touchdowns with Randy Moss and had the team undefeated going into the Super Bowl. I'm sure you've studied some of a little bit, and he's struggled the last several years throwing outside the hashes. But the deep ball has absolutely disappeared increasingly this year as well. What do you see as the limitations this version of Tom Brady has as the Chiefs go into this matchup on Sunday afternoon?
In a lot of ways, you honestly treat him like Lamar Jackson without the ability to run. That's pretty much what Tom's kind of become. So, I mean, like you said, outside the numbers, he's struggling past 15, and he can't throw a football accurately over 20 yards right now. He actually hasn't completed a pass over 20 yards since week 7, and we're in week 12 now. So, I mean, he's starting to struggle with that, and there's certain ways teams are aligning the safeties with the split safety stuff that I know some people have talked about on the internet, and that's where he's had a lot of his struggles. So, you don't want to be the team that week, especially the Chiefs, that, you know, allows him to connect deep and get his groove back. Because if he can get that, then the Bucs have a much better chance of having happier times down in Tampa. But right now, he's struggling mightily with that part of his game. And that's what the Chiefs can take full advantage of if the defense can correct some things that they need to. Like that's their way to get their groove back on defense this week.
That's what I was going to ask is how do the Chiefs take advantage? I think one way is there was a lot of concern last week when the Chiefs were facing a run heavy, powerful offensive line, and they used Daniel Sorensen a lot. And, you know, Juan Thornhill wasn't on the field a lot. This may be a game where you see Juan Thornhill a little bit more because the Buccaneers can threaten you deep, and that's a little bit more part of their game. But how do the Chiefs take advantage of this? I mean, is there something they can do from a pass rush perspective? You know, is there something they can do, you know, on the back end with Matthew and Thornhill? I mean, what ways do you see the Chiefs being able to take advantage of those limitations and, you know, and scheme that up so their defense can have a better day than they did, say, last week or against Carolina?
They have a great chance to have a better day than their past 2 weeks because, I mean, that Bucs offensive line isn't very good, and Donovan Smith, their left tackle, is going to decide how well the day goes for Brady, if he plays or not. And he didn't practice all week, and he messed up that right ankle in the Rams game and still tried to play through it, and he was struggling there at the end, and that's why the Rams got the pressure they did in the fourth quarter. So that's going to be a problem for him. The biggest way you get pressure on Brady is you attack him up the middle. And I got the those A gaps and those B gaps, that's how you hit him. You come after Brady that way because he's not going to elude you. He's not going to get outside the pocket. So that really doesn't matter. You can bring forward, and if you want to bring a rusher or a blitzer on third and long and bring five in that regard, as long as you make sure that blitzer's out of the corner of his eye, he'll throw it inaccurately at that point, and he'll throw it away. And like I said, if you have two deep, if you run a bunch of zone, if you run the split safety concept, all that type of stuff, you do that and run it, and honestly run a ton of zone, like Tom's got to pick his spots to throw through, and you don't necessarily have to be fearful of getting beat deep past 25 yards. So, I mean, that's kind of for a defense, this is kind of a dream in some regards to not have an athletic quarterback that can throw past 20. Doesn't mean he's still not talented. Doesn't mean he's still not good. But, I mean, for what the Chiefs' problems are right now, this is one of the ways they can get him. But they're going to have to do two things. They're going to have to not let the run game get going with Jones, and then they're not going to – they can't bite on the play-action passes. Just stay in your zone. If they give up 4 or 5 yards, that's fine. Just stay in your zone.
Yeah, I mean, look, you got Jones and you got Fournette, so they have a good combination of backs they can bring at you, and the Chiefs have obviously struggled at times against the run this year. How concerned are you about that pass rush, though? I mean, honestly, effort seemed to be an issue with the interior pass rush against – the Raiders. Do you see any way to get that fixed, or, you know, or what problems do you see with the Chiefs pass rush right now?
No, I mean, this is the week. If you're gonna get it fixed, you're gonna get back on track, this is the week to do it. I mean, this is the week against the Bucs right now in this offensive line. So if they can't get it done against the Bucs, then I don't know if it's gonna get done this season. But this is a week where there's a strong possibility to get it done, to be able to set a tempo, be able to create some attitude and some confidence, and run some twists, some stunts, some games, do all that. This is the week to do it. This is the team to do it, and they can be successful with it. And if they're not, then they got a much bigger problem, and their answers may not be on the roster.
All right. Hey, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about that Tampa defense, because there's a lot to like on that side of the ball for the Buccaneers, I think. We'll be back here on 4th and 1.
The Chiefs 41 Action News. The best seat to all the action. 7th Street Casino. Sunday Sound Off. An interactive sports show like no other. Answer questions. Voice your opinion. Try your hand against our panel of experts every Sunday night after the news and football.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And Nick, I want to talk about the Tampa Bay defense. You and I have talked a lot the last couple of years about the limitations of the Chiefs linebackers, and how that's a bit of a weak spot, that middle level on the Chiefs defense. I got to be honest, when I watch Devin White play and Lavonte David, I'm pretty jealous of the linebackers that Tampa Bay can put out there. Those two guys are some really good football players. What do you see, and do you see them as kind of the heartbeat of that defense?
I mean, when I watch the Bucs defense, yeah, they're fast, athletically a linebacker, and it would be great to have in Kansas City. But for the most part, I see an aggressive football team that when you run play action at them, that it doesn't work out well for them. So, I mean, they're going to be overly aggressive. You run play action pass on them, there's a lot of voids in their coverages that you can attack. I mean, and with Todd Bowles, I mean, been a part of Andy Reid's staff at one point, and being me knowing him pretty well and all that type of stuff. I mean, I think they got a pretty good beat on what they're going to try to do to slow the Chiefs down. And I mean, especially like there's one big problem with the Bucs defense that they do. They'll give you the first screen or two, but when they keep seeing it, they get overly aggressive. So if you run a double move off of that, like you're going to destroy them. You're going to wreck them off that, and it's going to be a 6 points. It's going to be a touchdown. So, I mean, there's these little nuanced things that, yeah, they're fast, they're aggressive, they're athletic, but with the Chiefs' speed that they have, they just have to show their hand to the left and throw it to the right, and it doesn't matter anymore, and then the Bucs are down by a significant amount.
Are you saying look back at the 2018 opener against the San Diego Chargers and screen passed Anthony Sherman for a touchdown? You're saying that maybe Andy brings that out of mothballs this week?
I don't know about that play specifically, but
Anthony Sherman on a wheel route.
I mean, the way they've attacked Bowles when he was with the Jets before, I'm sure they'll pull a handful of things out of that, and they'll have that and ready to go. But I mean, yeah, I mean, the Chiefs' offense, there's a lot of opportunity for them to be able to hang 30 without much of a problem against the Bucs defense.
I mean, they've got there aren't a lot of brand name guys, a lot of stars in the secondary for Tampa Bay, but I think they've got some decent players across the board. When you're looking at that secondary, is there any place that they can attack? Are there any matchups that are more favorable for Hill, for Kelsey, or how do you go about attacking that secondary that Tampa has down there?
I'm curious to see how they're going to guard. I'm very curious to see how they're going to guard Kelsey over the middle. That's kind of more the big one. I mean, if they're going to use Winfield on him or who they may try to adjust to him. So that's a big one I'm curious about. And I mean, look, I mean, they got a good rush. Jason Pierre-Paul, I mean, he's kind of the biggest threat on their front four. And the dude works. And then when Barrett comes in sometimes, I mean, he gives a good pass rush. So, I mean, they have some good rushers, but it's just part of it's going to be using the ground game to control some portions and using play action. But I mean, there's enough there that, I mean, I'm not terribly concerned what the Chiefs offensively can attack against them. There's a ton that they can manipulate with the aggressiveness of that defense to have their way, however they feel like, in terms of moving the football up and down the field.
Yeah, I mean, you also, and Dominican Sue's there in the middle. So, I mean, they've got some guys who can create some push, you know, all across the line. They're hurt a little bit by DeVay's out. And that's a big loss for them, you know, in the interior of that defensive line. Do you see this as a game? I mean, we saw Clyde Edwards-Helaire had been kind of quiet for a couple weeks, and then all of a sudden last week it seemed like they were able to flip a switch, and he was better in you know, short yardage situations. He was better between the tackles. Is that just a product of they figured out how to put him in situations to be successful, or is that an indication that they're starting to come together on the interior offensive line for the Chiefs? What do you see as kind of having unlocked Clyde Edwards-Helaire last week, and is it something they can replicate this week against the Buccaneers?
No, and it's twofold for Clyde. I mean, first thing is he's growing into the running back, and he's had enough reps. He understands how to kind of create the hole sometimes, so he understands how to follow the block and then cut back for this lane. His vision's getting better. His cuts are getting a little bit better, and he understands how to lower the shoulder. So he's doing what he has to do to create now, which early on he didn't have the reps to be able to kind of understand that and adjust to the speed of the game. So he's starting to do that portion now. Then the second part of it was that the Raiders were going to give up the edge. They were going to give up the pitches on the outside. So the Chiefs motioned Kelsey a bunch of times, and then they just did tosses outside of it and pulled their tackle and guard, and they just destroyed the Raiders with it. So, I mean, they found that getting Clyde into space works, so they finally did it. And then they also kind of let him create between the tackles at times. So, I mean, they kind of gave him enough to boost his confidence and to let him get comfortable, but they didn't throw their whole run game at him.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned a couple of times you expect him to put up 30. The Chiefs, by the way, number one scoring offense in the NFL now. Seattle's come back to earth a little bit. The Chiefs have continued to just kind of be steady like a freight train, just like Patrick Mahomes in the MVP race. If you look now, you know, he's the heavy favorite to be the NFL MVP. Do you buy into the idea that Patrick Mahomes is very aware when he's going up against Lamar Jackson, when he's going up against Tom Brady, and the fact that there's going to be a little extra scrutiny and that he dials it up in a game like this? That, do you buy into the fact that Patrick Mahomes wants to have a special game today or on Sunday going up against Brady?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Any chance he gets to compete against a good elite quarterback, he's going to take that chance and wants to prove he's the best. He's a competitor. So just like Jordan, he's always finding ways to raise his game each and every week. So that's what he does. I mean, you know, last week at that point, he saw his moment with about a minute and a half left, and he threw the Abram dagger to Kelsey to end that one. So, I mean, that's just what Patrick does. That's just who that dude is. I mean, he just finds ways to continue to raise his game and raise his level and to build his legacy.
Yeah, he's an absolute killer. You're kind of hoping maybe he doesn't have to score a touchdown with a minute 43 left to win this. Maybe a little more comfortable win going away here in Tampa.
One can hope.
All right. Hey, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to pepper you with some questions in the C block and have a little fun. How's that?
No.
All right. Hugs it is here on 4th and 1.
Your home of the Chiefs, 41 Action News. The best seat to all the action. 7th Street Casino. Sunday Sound Off. An interactive sports show like no other. Answer questions. Voice your opinion. Try your hand against our panel of experts every Sunday night after the news and football.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And Nick, we didn't have a lot of time to go into the Sammy Watkins conundrum last week. You know, he got hurt Friday. Didn't play last week, obviously. We talked about it a little bit and, you know, his willingness to come back on a restructured contract, the Chiefs' desire to kind of keep everything intact as much as possible with the disjointed offseason that they were approaching. Those are factors that played into it. You know, Watkins, it looks like he's actually going to be back this week. We thought that would be the case last week. Obviously, it wasn't. My question to you is, how much does it matter? At what point do you need Watkins back, you know, to feel comfortable with him as they go into the postseason?
I mean, you definitely need him back by playoffs and to be healthy throughout the playoffs if you want to be able to reach your maximum potential as an offense. And if right. You can have Hardman back too, that doesn't hurt. So, I mean, those guys are definitely people that you want to have available during that point and that portion. So that's part of that. Other thing I would say is that you ideally want to give him a couple games if you can, just to get back into the groove of it and kind of get the offense back in sync in general and just kind of have some game situations for them to all be kind of firing in all cylinders together. So, I mean, the more games you get, the better it is. But, I mean, if you're kind of like, hey, I need this the most for him to be healthy, then I'd say you probably need a couple games, probably two games for the playoffs.
Right. That's why I know a lot of people were freaking out when they thought he was going to come back last week and then he was a scratch there late. But this is nothing new with Watkins. He missed 6 games in 2018. He missed 2 games last year. The guy's missed 25 games in 7 professional seasons. Like, the Chiefs knew this is who he was. Since his rookie season in Buffalo, he's never played all 16 games in a year. That he's just not, I mean, durability has always been the big knock on Sammy Watkins. But the thing he's done in Kansas City is he has shown up in the postseason, and he's shown up big in the postseason, both in 2018 and 2019. So I don't really – it'd be great if you had a healthy Watkins. Obviously, it would make things easier for that offense right now. But I think the most critical factor is having Sammy Watkins healthy for the playoffs, because he's got 24 catches for 464 yards and a touchdown in his 5 games in the playoffs. He's very productive in the postseason with Kansas City. So, you know, I just hope he doesn't get hurt again and put himself out, because at this point, I think it's all about the postseason for the Chiefs.
Yep. Always has been, always will be.
Legarius Sneed came back, obviously wasn't playing as prominent a role as he did the first 3 weeks of the season. What did you see from Legarius Sneed? How much do you think the time off, you know, hurt him and hurt his development this season?
Yeah, I mean, he was rusty in that game against the Raiders, and it's probably going to take him a couple weeks to get back and be comfortable again. So I'm not expecting him to just immediately be the same player he was when he left in the Patriots game. So, I mean, I think it's going to take 3 to 4 weeks. But, again, it's one of those things that if you can have him up to speed before the playoffs, that's all that matters. So, I'm just – as long as you can win and keep winning and be able to get the guys up to speed that have been injured and have them ready to go by playoff time, that's really your goal at this point.
All right. Do you think he or DeAndre Baker can make a bigger impact down the stretch, or do you even see DeAndre Baker making much of an impact down the stretch?
With Baker, you're kind of hoping you can get him in the final two games of the season and see what he's got and what he's capable of. But I'm not putting a lot of eggs in the Baker basket right now. Because you don't know what he is or isn't, how long it's going to take him to get up to speed. I mean, you hope he's ready and able to help you contribute come playoff time, but for right now, that's just not – whatever you can get is a bonus with him right now.
And Martinez Rankin came back this week, but that wasn't the biggest offensive line news. In what way? Did you, like, go to Andy's Frozen Custard? Like, how did you celebrate – the news that Stefan Wisniewski was back with the Chiefs?
I just put that head nod on Twitter, and that was that. That's what I did. That's all the celebration that it needs. Like, it's great to have him back, and once he's 100% healthy from the pec injury that he had up in Pittsburgh, I mean, that's good news. It's good to have him in the rotation. It's going to be good to have Rankin in the rotation, and those two guys are both talented, and I'll be curious to see what they do with that offensive line headed into the playoffs with what they have available to them. And if Schwartz can come back off IR in a handful of weeks, I mean, you know, that offensive line, if they can get that up to a certain level by playoff time, then they have a chance to have one of their better offensive lines and a line that's even better than what they had last year to win the Super Bowl.
Right. I mean, it's not early 2000 where this isn't, you know, Waters, Roaf,
no,
Shields type territory, but certainly, if you can get all those guys up to speed and healthy, there's a lot of quality depth that you haven't had in several years, and you feel pretty comfortable with what the Chiefs can roll out there, you know, up front in terms of protection and things like that. Do you see either one of those guys, Rankin or Wisniewski, making a bigger impact down the stretch? Because obviously Wisniewski played a huge role, in December and moving into the playoffs last year.
Whoever can play right guard is going to be a big factor. And then depending what they want to do at left guard, the center spot to kind of get both those guys on the field, potentially, that'll be interesting to see. But, yeah, no, whichever one you can get to fill the right guard spot is going to be an improvement and advantage. And then whatever you can figure out at center here in the coming weeks, and if that means adjusting Allegretti to from left guard to center, if he's capable of doing that and finding that out over the next month, because Ryder had some snaps that were behind – they were wide on Mahomes, and Mahomes made it look natural and kept the timing on some plays and some stuff that would have either went behind a quarterback's head or would have disrupted the play and ruined that down. So it'll be interesting to see what they do here in the coming weeks.
All right. Hey, let's get a quick prediction. What do you think is going to happen down in Tampa?
Chiefs win.
By 77?
No. No, not by 77, but it should be a comfortable win.
All right. So I hope – I mean, the Chiefs haven't always played well in Florida, but I think this – Andy Reid seems to have solved the Florida issue that Marty Schottenheimer and company used to have going down there. So
seems like he had a really big win in Florida recently that, you know.
Right, and I think of the Jags games and some of those other ones. Like, but, yeah, they
like
seem to
really,
do okay.
Like a really big franchise-changing win down in Florida.
How much How much are you hoping that this is not the last time that they play at Raymond James Stadium this year?
Yeah, no, I think that's what everybody's hoping. I hope everybody's thinking that this is kind of more of a scouting trip than the
right.
the final visit down there this year.
Like Andy can hide like $1,500 in a ceiling panel and tell him we're going to come back and collect this in early February.
I mean, I don't know if they'd be hiding money, but I mean, I'm sure there's something that you can keep as a memento in that area.
That's what Tyronn Lue did after I think game 4 or 5 of the 2016 NBA Finals when the Cavaliers came back from 3-1 down. Tyronn Lue, I don't know if you're aware, Raytown grad.
Yeah, you've mentioned it a time of 12 on the podcast.
Represent. All right. Well, hey Nick, that's all I got today. What were you thankful for? Not having to hug me on Thursday?
That's exactly it. Not having the threat of a hug from Todd Palmer. That was number one on my list.
All right. Well, there you go. I was thankful for our listeners, Nick. Anyway, guys, hope you guys all had a happy, safe Thanksgiving, and hope you guys enjoy watching what we hope will be another Chiefs victory down there in Tampa. Take care, kids.